Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John chapter 11, and we'll begin reading at verse 1 and read all the way through verse 43. The Gospel of John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant word. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, will he get better?" Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So they told him plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. Let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of his disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out. his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Thus the reading of God's word as we find it in John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, verse 35, we have the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. But why did Jesus weep? The most common answer to that question is that Jesus wept because he loved his friend Lazarus. His friend Lazarus who died, and Jesus was sad, weeping sad, because he had lost his friend. In fact, verse 36 tells us that the Jews said, "See how he loved him," after seeing Jesus weep. But remember who is saying that. It is the Jews who have come from Jerusalem, not those of faith. So let us take a closer look this morning at our text to see if we can determine why exactly Jesus wept. You will notice from the outlines this morning I have included in your bulletins that chapter 11 is the last sign of John's gospel. In last week's sermon, we pointed out that chapter 11 is the transition book in the gospel of John. Chapters 1 through 10 are described, those chapters, as the first book called the Book of Signs. Chapters 12 through 21 is described by scholars as the second book of John's gospel, the Book of Glory, or as we are more familiar calling it, the Passion narratives. Chapter 11 is a transition chapter. It bridges together for us the Book of Signs and the Book of Glory. And in this transition chapter, we find elements of both books, Book of Signs, Book of Glory. First, let's look this morning at elements of the Book of Signs. You notice from your outlines this morning that there is a series of signs in the first half of John's gospel, 6 in chapters 2 through 9. John 2 is the water that turned to wine. John 4, the healing of the official's son. John 5, the healing of the lame man. John 6, the feeding of the 5,000. John 6, Jesus walks on water. John 9, the healing of the blind man. 6 signs in chapters 2 through 9. In chapter 11, we have the 7th sign, the number of completion. In Hebrew, the number of the covenant in God's word, the 7th and last sign, the sign of completion. As you look at each one of those miracles in the Book of Signs, you will see that in John chapter 11, there are more verses for this last sign than any of the other signs that Jesus has done. That emphasizes its importance, its focus on the gospel, its focus in fulfilling all the other signs. Jesus healed the official's son who was sick, chapter 4. That's pretty good. Jesus healed a lame man, chapter 35, a man who had been lame for 35 years or 38 years. That's pretty good. Jesus in chapter 9 heals a blind man, a man who had been blind from birth, and the blind man declares, "No one in the Old Testament has ever healed a blind man before." That's pretty good. But in chapter 11, we come to a man who is not just sick, but is dead. 4 days stinking dead. The 7th and the last sign is the healing of a dead man. Now keep in mind, as we've worked our way through these signs, we have always recognized that John, the gospel writer, describes them as signs, whereas other gospel writers describe Jesus' miracles as miracles. When the gospel writer of John describes them as signs, that means that as we looked at each sign, we recognized that there was a deeper meaning behind the sign and the physical healing that took place. When we understood the water turned to wine, we understood that it was more than just providing wine and drinks for the wedding guests. But the age of salvation, abundant salvation and forgiveness of sins was here. When we saw the feeding of the 5,000, we recognized that it was more than just Jesus feeding a bunch of hungry people. It was the spiritual feeding of our Lord as He feeds His people the bread of life. In John chapter 9, as we saw the healing of the blind man, we recognized that there was more to it than simply the physical receiving of sight once again by this man. But now his spiritual eyes were open and he understood the grace and forgiveness and the person of Jesus Christ who had come from God. But now as we come to the resurrection of Lazarus, this seventh and last sign, we recognize also that there's something else behind other than the fact that Jesus is raising a dead man from the dead. A spiritual meaning that comes behind this last and greatest sign. Something more is taking place. What is it that's taking place? What is the spiritual meaning behind this sign? Well, remember, chapter 11 is a transition chapter. And at two places in this story, Jesus gives us that clue. Verse 4. When Jesus heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." This story is not about Lazarus alone. This story is about the Son of God and the glory of the Son of God. When Martha declares that this man, my brother Lazarus, has been dead in the tomb for 4 days and there's a stinking odor. Verse 39, Jesus said in verse 40, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" This is a transition chapter. It is the conclusion to the book of signs, the last and the greatest signs. It leads us into the last part of the gospel, the book of glory, the glory of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who submits Himself to death and goes to the cross to take away the sins of His people. That is glory. That is the key, the book of signs, the book of glory that lies behind the key as to why Jesus wept. Why does Jesus weep in this last story? Why is Jesus crying, weeping like you and I who would fall on our knees at the death of a friend and weep and cry? All through the book of signs, they have tried to seize Him. And we have read over and over that one reason they were not able to seize Him after seeing the sign, after hearing Jesus claim, "Before Abraham I was, I am the bread of life," all of His claims concerning the fact that He is God, they could not seize Him because His hour had not yet come. But now that we come to chapter 11, His hour has come. You will notice in your outlines this morning, in the second half of those outlines, our text is divided up into four different scenes. In the first scene this morning, we come to the point in which we are introduced to the crisis. What is the crisis in this story in chapter 11? We're told in verse 1 that Lazarus is sick. But this is not just any man, Lazarus. He is from Bethany, the village of Mary and Martha, who were close to Jesus. And Mary, whose brother Lazarus was sick, and the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped her feet with his hair. These sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. They do not even have to say his name in their message. Their messengers come with the word that the one you love, Lord, is sick. Jesus knows who it is. Jesus knows Lazarus. When Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And then we're told of Jesus' love for Lazarus and his sisters. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, verse 5. But what does Jesus do? When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Jesus stands at the tomb in verse 35 and he's weeping. Would Jesus have really been weeping if he was only sad because his friend Lazarus had died? If Jesus had been truly concerned, he would have said the word when the messengers came, just like we saw in chapter 4 with the healing of the official's son. The man came to Jesus. Jesus said, your son is healed, and he was healed at that very moment. If Jesus was really concerned about his friend Lazarus, that he might die, why did he wait around, we're told in verse 5, for 2 more days? Why not go immediately, call the ambulance, turn on the sirens, get as quickly as you can to Bethany so that Lazarus can live? But he waits for 2 more days. Why does Jesus weep? The next section gives us some hints. The disciples enter the picture in verse 7. Jesus speaks to them and tells them, let us go back to Judea. But it's been 2 days since he heard the news. Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there? That's what happened in chapter 9. The last time Jesus was there, they tried to stone him. They wanted to remove him. He made the claim to be God. We don't believe his miracles. He deserves, they found in their trial of the Sanhedrin, he deserves death. Jesus said, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees the world, this world's light. But when he walks by night, he stumbles, for he has no light. There is a spiritual meaning behind what Jesus is about to do. There are some who walk in the light. There are some who walk in the darkness. And we find out in the next few verses that even his disciples are somewhat in the darkness about what Jesus is going to do. Our friend Lazarus, he tells them, verse 11, has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. That's a good thing, Lord. If he's sleeping, he'll get better. That's what you do when you're sick. The more you can sleep, the more you gain your strength back. But Jesus said, I am going there to wake him up. And he told them, verse 13, that he was speaking of his death. But the disciples were thinking of natural sleep. So Jesus does not play around with them. He tells them in verse 14 exactly what is going to take place. Lazarus is dead. He's not just sleeping. He's not just going through a sickness and taking a nap. He's died. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. And Thomas gives us a clue that something else is going on. Verse 16, let us also go, that we may die with him. The disciples know there is danger. They know what has happened Jesus' last time in Jerusalem and in this region. They know that if Jesus returns, bad things could happen, perhaps even death. But Jesus is not afraid. Jesus will go to his friend, his 4 days dead friend. In the next section, you see that there are a dialogue that takes place between the two sisters. And if you notice that this section is wrapped around the two statements of the sisters, which are identical, you can come to understand the meaning of this portion of John 11. We're told in verse 21 that Martha went to Jesus and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We're told in verse 32 that when Mary, the other sister, hears that Jesus has arrived, she declares the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Two identical statements, two parallel indications that something is going on in this section, something which gets at the heart of everything that takes place in this chapter. The first sister that Jesus loved that comes to him is Mary. Jesus has returned and he's gone to Bethany, a 2-mile journey. It's 4 days later and Jesus is told that Lazarus has died. Jesus had previously said to the messengers, verse 3, this sickness will not end in death. They got that message. But their brother has died. Lord, Martha said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I now know that even God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Rise again, Martha says. Well, I know that in the future, at the end of the world, there will be a resurrection. And I look forward to that day in the future when my brother Lazarus will rise again. He loved you. He was a good man. He loved God. Someday in the future, at the end of the world, I'll see my brother again and he will rise again. But Jesus said, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. When you look at all the vocabulary in Martha's answer, when Jesus asks her, do you believe? We have a perfect Christology. 4 different words describing who Jesus is. She calls him Lord. She declares that she believes that he is the Christ, the Messiah sent from God. She declares that she believes he is the Son of God. She declares that she believes he has been the one sent that has come into the world. This verse is a testimony of her faith in God, her faith and understanding as to who the Savior is. It is a perfect Christology. It is the whole point of the first half of John's Gospel, the Book of Signs. Jesus has come to perform these signs because when he performs these signs, people will know he's the Son of God. They will know he has full deity. They will know that as he has come to earth, he is fully God. But now we come to the second statement. Again, after some introduction, we're told that Martha goes and tells Mary that The teacher is here. And Mary goes to talk with the teacher. And the Jews from Jerusalem had arrived and they followed her. And they watch as she falls on her knees and declares, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Martha comes to Jesus and said the same thing. When Jesus answers, "Martha, we have a profession, a testimony. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. But Mary, there is no words." With Mary, she falls on her knees, and we know that she loves Jesus because she's fallen on her knees. We know that she loves Jesus because in verse 2 we're told that she will wipe the perfume off his feet, that expensive perfume, with her hair. But no testimony. Instead, we're told that Jesus saw her weeping. Instead, we're told that the Jews who had come along with her were weeping. And we're told that Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" Jesus knew where. Jesus had already said that this sickness will not end in death. But they say to Jesus, "Come and see, Lord." At the beginning of the book of signs in chapter 1, as Jesus is calling his disciples, they say to each other, "Come and see. Come and see the Lord. Come and follow the Lord." But now in this transition chapter, they are saying to Jesus, "Come and see, Lord, your dead friend at the tomb." And then we're told, Jesus wept. Mary is weeping. The Jews are weeping. And Jesus is weeping. When Martha came to Jesus and made her statement, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died," she ends with a profession that Jesus Christ is fully God. When Mary comes and makes the same statement, her love for the Lord is clear. There is no need for profession. But we see in Jesus that he is fully man. Martha is weeping. The Jews are weeping. And Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, is weeping. Could there be any doubt that when you go to a grave, that when you experience the loss of a loved one, of a dear one, and you're weeping, that your Savior does not understand you? Could there be any doubt in your mind from reading this verse that your Savior went through it too? But that is not all. The disciples have given us a clue. "Let us also go that we may die with him." Jesus has given us a clue. "No, it is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through it. Verse 4. Our Savior knows that as He goes to this tomb, He goes to His own tomb. As He goes to the tomb of Lazarus and He weeps, and He demonstrates for us that He is fully man, just as we saw in the book of signs, He is fully God, as we enter the second half of John's Gospel, the Passion, the Book of Glory. There will be no more signs, no more miracles, but Jesus, who is fully man, will submit Himself to death. Death on a cross, and will rise from the tomb. Jesus knows that in this seventh sign, this will be the beginning of the end for Him. He knows that this is the beginning, the transition point, that the Jews who had come from Jerusalem, verse 17 and 18, would go back to Jerusalem. We're told that in verses 45 through 47. Verse 47 tells us that they told the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. They decided that they had to do important steps to stop this Jesus. For once He has risen His friend Lazarus from the dead, there will be no stopping it now. And verse 53 tells us, from that day on, they plotted to take His life. Jesus is weeping in full demonstration of His person as the Son of Man. Jesus is weeping because He knows that when this last and seventh sign takes place, it will be the beginning of the glorification of the Son, who will go to the cross as fully God and fully man to pay for the sins of His people, so that even His friend Lazarus can rise from the dead. Have you noticed in this story how passive and leisurely Jesus is? When He's told the news, His son, His friend Lazarus is dying, He waits around two more days. The sister sent a messenger to Jesus, He slowly responds. When Jesus comes back to Bethany, it's Martha who runs out to Him. Later, it's Mary, when she hears that Jesus is here, she runs out to Him. And Jesus is leisurely taking His time. There is very little action on His part. He's submitting to the circumstances until He comes to the tomb. When He comes to that tomb, the verbs change in our text. Instead of a passive Lord, instead of a Lord who weeps and you're concerned because He knows that this could be His end, there is no hesitation. He comes to that tomb, verse 38. And it is a cave with a stone laid across the entrance, just like His own, chapter 20. Take away the stone is His command. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor. For four stinking days He has been inside that tomb. There was a rumor, a story in Jewish circles, that the soul would hover around the body for 3 days after a person died, but once the stink happened, once the smell came, that was the sign that the soul was gone till the end of the world. Jesus took his time so it would be clear that Lazarus is dead. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Martha had answered, "I know he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. This resurrection is not only future. This resurrection is now. It is present. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe this about your dead brother? Do you believe this about why I came into the world? Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they followed his command. They took away the stone, and Jesus looked up to the Father and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of those standing here, that they may see and believe that you sent me." And he called out a command in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" 4 stinking days he's been in this tomb. 4 days he has been dead. There is no doubt for anyone standing there that this man is dead. He is not an official son who is sick. He is not a lame man who's been lame for 38 years. He's not a blind man who has been blind from birth. This man is dead. "Lazarus, come out." And the man who in Christ was only sleeping came out. His hands, his feet that had been wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face, it's the same man. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Death shall not be your master. Death shall not imprison you. For the Son of God has come to remove you from sin and from death. But you notice, he still has the strips of linen and the cloth around his face when he comes out. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." But someday, they would put them back on. But Jesus had said to Martha, resurrection is not just future. Resurrection is now. I am the resurrection and the life. That resurrection is present. That resurrection for somebody like Lazarus is present even now. All those in the story who came to Jesus, Mary and Martha, those two whom Jesus loved, they could come to him, for they were physically still alive. But Lazarus could not come. Lazarus, the dead man, could not leave that grave. Lazarus, the dead man, was in that grave with the stone in front, and Jesus had to come to him. And when he called his name, he came. George Whitefield, the great preacher from England during the Great Awakening, traveled throughout England, traveled throughout our country. And he said, "Can anyone read the story of Lazarus and not be a Calvinist?" Did Lazarus say, "Lord, I don't want it. I have to choose the Lord"? When Jesus called, this dead man came. That means that this story of Lazarus is not just a story about a man long ago. This story of Lazarus is about resurrection present, resurrection now. The Apostle Paul understood in Ephesians 2, "For you who were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live and followed the ways of this world," that's who you were. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." God has called you, sinner. You who are dead as Lazarus in your sin. You cannot come to him. You cannot choose him. You have nothing to do with your salvation. But the Son of God has called you, and death is no longer your master. You have been set free by the Spirit and the power of the Son of God, who has come for you, who has freed you, who has given you salvation. This chapter is the last and the greatest of the signs. This chapter introduces us to the Book of Glory. The glory of the Son, Jesus Christ, God and man, who will go to the cross for you, for your salvation forevermore. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the story of Lazarus and the power that it brings to us concerning our own salvation. For Lord, that resurrection of Lazarus is our resurrection. We understand that we are as dead as Lazarus was in our sin. We understand that Christ has called to us to come out, and that your Spirit has worked in our hearts so that we can respond by faith and believe that he is the Son of God who has come into the world to bring us salvation, which is forevermore. And Lord, as we read this story, we are humbled by our Savior and how he has purchased this salvation for us. For he has come down from heaven as Son of God. He has lived his life on earth as Son of Man, has suffered all that we have suffered, has gone to the tomb and suffered even death, so that we can know this salvation. We rejoice, O God, in the salvation which has come to us from our Savior. Enable us by your Spirit to live it, to speak of it, and to demonstrate to others who do not know it that it is ours forevermore. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.